We're very thankful this afternoon to be back with you all, and we appreciate having everyone on the call and joining, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and distinguished guests of the audience. To those who was in worship this morning, the first time back at our building, it was good to see everyone. We continue to pray that the others will also that desire to be with us will continue to shower in and come in and be with us and enjoy the new facility that we have. Thanking God for what He's blessed us to. A great place of worship. Good to be back. Remember, we've been out 2 years. We're thankful this evening to God for all He's done over the last few years for us, especially blessing us to get back to our home. And to those who may be visiting, may not be members of the Church of Christ this afternoon, we thank you so very much for joining us. We want you to know that we believe that the Bible is right in the churches of Christ, and that we're going to be saved. We got to do it the way God has said it from the Bible. And that is, one must believe that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, and washed his sins away. And that same blood purchased his church. The only church you ever read about in the Bible. The church is his wife, the bride of Christ, the church of Christ. And the Lord adds those who are saved to that one church. Now, this afternoon, for a few minutes, we're going back to Ephesians chapter number 1. And I started that last week. We looked at all the spiritual blessings, few of the spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places, and looked at the fact that chapter 1 through 7, we looked at how God has a chosen group. That's the church, though the church was predestinated. Thirdly, those who obey are considered adopted children of God. And number 4, we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Number 5, we've received forgiveness. It's all due to the riches of his grace. Number 6, and we're picking up in verse 8 this afternoon, which really are the continuation of the spiritual blessings, but it's more specifically confined to the mystery of his will. In verse 8, Paul continues to teach the Ephesian Christians, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. The mystery of his will. This word mystery is used in the sense of something beyond human comprehension. Until it's revealed. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and verse 11, he said unto his disciples, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The kingdom was a mystery, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So they was going to get the mystery revealed. The Apostle Paul, on numerous occasions, mentioned the mystery. So what happened is Jesus in John 16:13 told his apostle how being when he the spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you into all truth. And Paul and the apostles, and when we got the New Testament, the New Testament contains the mystery of God that was revealed through the apostles. So when something is revealed, it's no longer a mystery. Paul said in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become. A part of the mystery, and we'll see that in chapter 3, that the Gentiles will be in the church and fellowship with the Jews. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, Paul again said to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to, notice this, the revelation of the mystery, which is the revealing of the secret. This mystery is this unknown information to man, which is kept secret since the world began. He told the Roman Christian that. He told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul again speaks of this mystery. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So Paul is saying this mystery was in the mind of God before the world was. In Ephesians chapter 3, we'll get to that in more details as we get to chapter 3. Paul says that by revelation he made known unto me. So Paul specifically said in verse number 3, the mystery was made known unto me. So he was an apostle. He said, I wrote in a few words, so the mystery is now in writing. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so here he is. We know the mystery of Christ. It has to be read. It's in writing. And this mystery became something that was revealed to the apostles. Ephesians 3:9, Paul said, to make all men see what is the mystery of the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 5 of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 32, when he was talking about the husband and the wife, when he was talking about Christ being the husband and the wife being the church, he was talking about husband, love your wife, even Christ also loved the church and gave himself it, verse 32, that's 23, verse 32, he said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, the mystery that he was speaking of there, but that Christ would be the head of the church, and the Christ and the church would be Christ's bride. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 19, he said, as for me, the utterance may be given to me, unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26, Paul again said, even the mystery which had been hid from ages, from generations, but now made manifest to his saints. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Paul says there that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of Father and of Christ. And he said there's a mystery in the Godhead. And in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Colossians, Paul again said, with a prayer also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds. Now, this is something important for us to know, that this mystery of his will is now revealed and declared to us in verses. We are, as a congregation, as a church, the Church of Christ, we need to understand the blessing here is that we are included in the mystery of God's will. This is why we are receiving all these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We're getting the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. It's always planned by God, and he will come up with a scheme of redemption to bring man back after Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He had a plan to bring the church back and make known his mystery. Paul said that, having made known unto the mystery will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Paul said he had purchased, God had purposed in himself. See, this is all, brothers and sisters, the reason we can be so thankful that God has blessed us all to be in the mystery of his will. And his will was, simply put, that all men be saved by Christ through one church. Now, many people don't know that today because it's still a mystery. The reason they don't know the mystery is because they haven't read the mystery. The mystery has been revealed to the Church of Christ, to the world, through the scriptures. Now, our responsibility as the Church of Christ is to make known this mystery to the world. That's why I'm a gospel preacher. That's why we must preach what thus said the Lord and continue to preach the word as written without addition or subtraction. That's what's important. So Paul says in verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he would gather in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and in earth. See, here it is now. Paul says what God was going to do. He made known this mystery. Verse 10, he says, this mystery is that in the dispensation, which is time period, of the fullness of time, he was gathered together in one all things which are in Christ, both in heaven and in earth. Notice that. He would do it all in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Paul would make God would do this from the period that he sent Christ down. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time would come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So the Old Testament, it was a New Testament concealed, but in the New Testament, it's revealing the completion of the will of God, and it started with his son, Jesus Christ. So he made known the fullness of time when it was time to make this application, Christ would come and he would die for the sins of the world. It's important for us to understand this because you can't, for us, it's important that we understand this so we see our blessings that come from God. And because they come from God, we can see that these blessings are spiritual blessings. And when you know you're in the will of God, you have much to be thankful for, knowing that God has provided a way for you and I to save our precious souls. It's important for us to know we're in the will of his mystery. His mystery. And verse 10 said that the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now notice he says, both in heaven, which are in heaven and on earth. Now you remember when Jesus got up from the grave after he died on the cross, he got up with all power in his hand. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Not only this mystery revealed is that Jesus would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This was God's plan. His plan was to bring us back to him through Jesus Christ, his son. That was God's plan, and God carried out his plan, and we are in that mystery, and we are getting, as a result, of receiving spiritual blessing because he done that. And so that's such a blessing to be a member of the Lord's church. Let's go back to what else we can get out of this. In verse number 11, in whom also he obtained inheritance. There it is. In whom also, in this mystery, that we will get this inheritance, being predestinated, talking about the church, according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. There was all God doing that he would give us. And that's why Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. My father has a many man. There's this inheritance, this in God's will, his own will, his own counsel, of bringing the people back through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, when man sinned, they leave the image of Christ. Christ came back to bring us an image of God. But when man sinned, they leave the image of God. But when God sent his son, when we obey the gospel, we were born again back into the image of God. An image, all part of his will, that we would be his children, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Then they had the Jews. Now you're talking about Jews and Gentiles. Then there were those who were first, and then those of us who come as Gentiles, we all bought into the same church. We should be the ones giving praise to God. This is the final result of our predestination and our adoption. Now, no one individual is predestinated. We talked about that last week. We're talking about people. The Church of Christ was predestinated. It's predetermined. The people that will be saved will be in the Lord's church. That's what's predetermined. That's what predestinated. Not the individual. Not Tommy Brewer. I have to obey the Lord. Though he was a son, Jesus, the Bible says, Hebrews 5:8, yet he learned obedience by things which he suffered. Then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Listen to this now. To all of them that obey him. So that now, we can't have eternal salvation unless we obey. So if you're on the call today, and you say, Brother Brooks, am I in the will? Yes, you're in the will from the standpoint of that the will is the church where people be saved. But you have to make your own, you have your own will that you have to give to God's will. And you can't be self-will because you have to think about it in terms of this God's will and that you obey his son and his son died for you. And Jesus and God expects you to obey the gospel. He expects you to be buried with his son in baptism and change your life and live a life that's pleasing and accepting him. In verse 13, and whom also you trusted, talking to them, Jews, and that ye heard the word of the truth. I mean, Jews and Gentiles. Some of them were Jews, some were Gentiles. They heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. There it is right there. The word of truth contains the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth is the word of God. The whole Bible is considered the word of God. But the gospel specifically of salvation has to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So the gospel by itself is the power of God. That gospel is the love story that God loved you, gave his son died and was buried and rose again. Now that's the gospel of your salvation. It's contained in the word of God. What is the word of God for then? The word of God is for faith building. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You can hear the word of God and never obey the gospel. But you can't obey the gospel without hearing the word of God, because to preach the word of God, you have to preach the gospel. Well, you can. Some people just leave the gospel out, but they're not preaching the word of truth, though. If you preach the truth, you'll preach Christ. You'll preach Christ and him being crucified. You'll be Christ in his blood, Christ in baptism, Christ in his church. All of this is to be preached when we preach the word of truth. In whom also, yeah, I believe. So he's saying now, you got to be hear the word of truth, got to be preached to you. The salvation, the gospel got to be preached to you. Then you have to believe. You, and when you believe, you will obey. And then he said, you will seal with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, here's what we're talking about here when it comes to the Holy Spirit of promise. It's important to understand that there was a measure of the Holy Spirit that was given to those apostles. They were speaking in tongues, those things like that. That's the Spirit that came upon them. But as we receive the Spirit today, we receive the Spirit. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive, for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift that the Holy Spirit has is eternal life. Now, he says, which is the earnest in our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, when we believe, we're sealed. It's kind of like this. When you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, from you walk in the light of Jesus in the light, you follow the Holy Spirit, you follow the writing of the scripture, you're being led of the Spirit. And when you're being led of the Spirit, you're sealed. Kind of like the good example of one being sealed was Job. When the devil went to God and started talking to Job, talking to God about Job in chapter 1, God asked, maybe consider my servant Job. He said, no, you got a hedge about him. It means a circle around him. You protected him. That's what a seal does, protects. And so in this case, when we look at, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Some of the apostles, some of those receive some of those spirits to give those promises, but we receive the gift of eternal life through obedience to the gospel. So therefore, we're protected by the Spirit, because the Spirit has given us everything we need to obtain these spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places. Now, verse 15. Wherefore I also, Paul, talking about himself, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Paul now is saying, I've heard of your faith. Paul writing his letters to them. He's closing his chapter. He said, I've heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. You have to ask yourself, what do people say about you as a Christian? Have they heard about your love, your faith in the Lord? I would hope as congregation of Highland Heights that we're known for our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love for all the saints. Then Paul said, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul wanted them to know that because he's hearing these things about them, he ceased not to pray for them and thanking them. Cease not to give thanks for them. He mentioned them in our prayer, which tells me when there are sound congregation and people that we know are favorable to the Lord, we ought to be praying for them and mentioning them in our prayers. Mention them in our prayers. Have you prayed for those who are remaining faithful to the Lord and continue to hold his unchanging head? We ought to pray for them. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, at the time when the Bible was complete, as Paul was receiving revelation, the Bible said there were different gifts given. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. There was a gift called the gift of the spirit of wisdom. And so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. So those spiritual gifts are not today. That's not what we get today. When we get today, the word of God is completed, is finalized. If you want to know anything about the spirit of wisdom, you got to read it. That's what Paul said, whereby when you read, you would know the revelation. So he was revealing, and he used those miraculous ways to reveal through revelation and through the spirit of wisdom. The gift of the spirit was given to certain ones. All that gift of tongues, speaking, a lot of different gifts were given, which none of that's needed today because the Bible teaches the perfect has come, and the perfect is the word of God, the law of liberty. So we don't need miracles today, no miracles today. The miracles were in place to confirm the word of God. Now, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, when you read truth and you believe it, you can understand that you've been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Paul is saying he was thankful that they understood, their understanding was enlightened, that they could know the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And that's what we got to know, the hope of our calling, the hope of eternal life, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance and saints, to be children of God, to be able to one day see God's face in peace and hear him say, well done. It's a blessing. And all that's come because we're in the mystery of his will. As I close, verse 19 through 23, what is exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe. Now all this comes to those who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Although in the mystery of his will, is this greatness of his power is given to us who believe. If a person don't believe God's word, they cannot receive these spiritual blessings. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith is impossible to please God. He to come to God must believe. He is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on the right hand in heavenly places. Yeah, well, see, when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood to purchase the church. But he had to be resurrected. When he got up, at that point, the gospel was completed. He had worked through Christ. He wrought through Christ, which means he worked through his son. He's God so loved where he sends his son. His son died on the cross and shed his blood to work out this will. And then when God raised him up from the dead, he rose up and he gave the command. All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. And at that point, the will of God had been carried out. Now he says, for above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, heaven and earth, and had put all things under his feet, talking about Christ. Watch this now, as he summarized it. and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, the sum of the mystery of his will, and that his son would die to save the world, and that he would build his church through the shedding of his blood, and that church would be his body. The mystery of God's will is that all men will be saved in one church, Jews and Gentiles. And that the apostles revealed it. And now it is the church of Christ's responsibility. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. Because the mystery, including the mystery of his will, was when the church was made known to the world. It was then the church's responsibility to make known the revealed information, which is no longer mystery. It is called scripture. Let me say that again. The revealed information is no longer a mystery. A mystery is something that's not being revealed. God has revealed through the apostles and those of the New Testament during the time of the writing of the New Testament, completion of his will. And now we are to carry and make known. We are to preach the gospel, preach the church, preach Jew and Gentile in one body by Jesus Christ. Preach the spiritual blessings that are only in heavenly places, that we are chosen for a purpose. We've been predestinated for a purpose. We're adopted as his children for a purpose. We were redeemed by his son for a purpose. We are forgiven for a purpose. We are rich because his grace and blessings are coming to us, and we are included in the mystery of his will. And our inclusion is we receive all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And while we're on this earth, we, the church, must make known this revealed information, which is called the mystery of his will. So we're included in the will. I hope you understand the lesson. Try to keep it simple. It's simply saying God's will is that we keep preaching his son, how he died on the cross for our sins according to the scripture, how he was buried, how he rose again a third day, early one Sunday morning, with all power. And he shed his blood and washed his sins away in baptism. That blood, according to Revelation 1:5, wash away your sin. We ask the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That was in the will of God. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That was in the will of God. Then after we're baptized, when we're baptized, we contact that blood. That was in the will of God. That blood washed our sins away. Acts 22:16. That was in the will of God. We rise to walk a new life. We're new creatures, born again, regenerated, heirs of God, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, adopted children. That was in the will of God. When we got up, we added to the church with the purpose of making known manifold wisdom of God from the beginning, and a mystery that will be revealed. And that mystery is now complete. It's revealed. It's our job. Continue to preach. If you're on the call today and you want to be saved, you got to believe that story that Jesus hung on the bed and died. Believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men. Then you got to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Then the Lord adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And as Paul said, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church, which is his body. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body, so there is one church. And when you obey the gospel, when you obey the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you obey by being baptized In obedience to that, God will then add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, and there you continue to tell this truth to the world, but only a few will obey it. Jesus said that himself. In the end, the straight gate, for wide is gate, broad is the way to lead destruction, meaning we'll go that way. But straight is gate, narrow is the way to lead the life, few there be. Define it. Don't you be that one in the many. Why don't you obey the gospel today? Understand it. God had you in his mind. He wants you to obey. Jesus wants you to obey. We want you to obey. You do that by hitting 5-star on your phone. After we sing the song of encouragement, and we will baptize you today for the remission or forgiveness in your sins. And you rise and walk the newness of life, and you become a part of the mystery of the will of the church, is that we must make known this truth to everyone who want to hear it. And we're doing that for you today. And members of the church, you should just feel blessed because we're getting all these spiritual blessings, chosen, being predestinated, forgiveness, redemption, and power of prayer. When you're going through some, maybe somebody will call today, you're going through something in your life, some member of the church, you're going through something in your home, something in your marriage, maybe you lost a loved one, or something's going on in your heart is hurting, you've been broken heart. I don't know what's going on with you, but you do. We know this. Prayer can change things. Why is that, Brother Brooke? The eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you hit 5-star on your phone? It's got to be singing the song of encouragement.